Amen. Amen. And amen. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We would not be here today if it wasn't for your goodness, for your faithfulness. Lord, we want to say that we love you. We thank you that you have given us your Spirit, that we are no longer slaves to this world. We no longer belong to this world, but we indeed have been adopted as sons and daughters, brought into your kingdom of light. And so, Lord, we pray that you will advance your kingdom. Use us for your glory. Use us to accomplish your eternal purpose as we move forward, pushing onwards by faith towards the glorious destiny that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you're watching by way of television, even right here in this house, you can have your seat. But get your Bible, get your notebook, get your pen as we delve into the Word of the Lord. We only have a few short minutes left. And I want to talk about now faith. Come on, someone just right there where you are, just say now faith. Even right there in the comment section, if you're watching this right now on Facebook, just type it now faith. If you are a possessor of now faith, let us know. I want to start off this morning by sharing with you two important truths about faith. Two important truths about faith. These are things that you can say that are common misconceptions, misrepresentations about the subject of faith. Two things that I want to highlight today before we even get into the Word is, number one, is that we have all received the same measure of faith. None of us have received more than the other one. We have all received the same measure of faith. Romans 12 and verse 3 in the Amplified says this towards the latter part of that verse. It says that God hath dealt to every man the same measure of faith. Point number two, which is important pertaining to the subject of faith, is that faith is a lifestyle. The Bible declares on numerous occasions, but specifically highlights the fact that the righteous, the just, shall live by faith. You see, faith is not circumstantial, and it is most definitely not optional. Faith is a way of life. You can even say that it is the natural lifestyle of kingdom sons and daughters. But how would we even then define biblical faith? Well, as the name would suggest, we allow the Bible to define what faith is. Now, you all know this very, very well. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Amplified adds the fact that it is the title deed. In other words, it is something which is tangible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Three things from this single portion of Scripture. The very first part speaks of now faith is. You see, faith is always in the present tense. Faith is always now. Faith is not yesterday. Faith is not tomorrow. It is certainly not next year. Faith is now. You see, God is wanting, He's looking for people who will have a now faith in a now God for a now miracle. Number two is the fact that faith then is the substance of things hoped for. It is the confidence and the assurance of what it is that we desire. Anything then with substance, anything that has substance, therefore is tangible. You can feel it. You can taste it. You can smell it. Faith produces the manifestation of what it is that you desire to see in the natural. Faith brings into the hearing and the seeing and the feeling realm those things not yet revealed to the physical senses. Here's a practical example for you. Remember when lame individuals received their healing, the commandment then came saying, get up and walk. You see, they already had now become partakers of their miracle in the now. But they had to now put their faith into action. There was nothing that the senses would have been able to say, hey, you've just received your healing. They had to actually get up and walk then in the manifestation of that healing. And this is why, when we even consider Abraham took God at his word. He said, God, your word is the only evidence that I need. Every time God spoke to Abraham, he simply responded saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And the reason why you can respond, sort of, it's the default setting, just being able to say, yes, Lord, is because it is synonymous with someone who has a revelation of now faith. Andrew Womack made this statement. He says that true faith doesn't deny physical truth. It just refuses to let physical truth dominate spiritual truth. Truth faith subdues physical truth to the reality of spiritual truth. Number three is the fact that faith is the evidence of things not seen. So the question is what is presently not seen in your life? Knowing then that faith is the substance. The fact that you are not seeing it right now doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It's just around the corner. It simply hasn't yet been revealed to the natural senses. But the spiritual truth is that it is already there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Saint Augustine said this, the early church father, faith is to believe what you do not see. And the reward of this kind of faith is to see then what you believe. You see, God is looking for people to possess a now faith. God is not looking for yesterday faith. He's not looking for a tomorrow faith. He is looking for those who will be possessors and act upon the revelation of a now faith. You see, Hebrews 11:1 again says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Luke 6:2 said, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Romans 5:9 says, ye are now justified by his blood. Romans 5:11 says, you have now received the atonement. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. And Revelation 12:10 says, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. You see, your miracle is here now. Your deliverance is here now. Your healing is here now. Restoration is here now. Breakthrough is here now. Even resurrection power is available right here and right now. And if you are a partaker and if you receive this now faith and you are believing that today is the day, that right here and right now is the appointed time, it is the moment you've been waiting for, let your shout be the loudest in Jesus' name. You see, many people point to a historical Jesus, the Jesus who died 2,000 years ago. And they sort of believe that the power that was released, the revelation that was given, just simply remained in that particular time, in that particular setting. Or you have, like many people today, they talk about one day in heaven, simply referring to a futuristic Jesus, the one who will come on the clouds of heaven. But yet they fail to understand. They fail to realize, to grasp, to comprehend of the fact that he is a now Jesus. He is the one who goes from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. There's a woman, we all know her so well. The story is recorded in the book of Mark chapter 5. The woman with the issue of blood is that she had a hope that she could be healed. And it was her hope that brought her to Jesus. Even right now, you are watching or you are in this place. Why? Because hope has brought you here. You have heard about Jesus. You have heard about His miraculous power. You have heard that He is the God of miracles. But I want to say to you, you do not have to wait for one day in heaven. For Jesus said that the enemy comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's no denying that we can see that the enemy is doing that right here and right now. He's not doing or reserving that for one day. That is already what's happening right now in the world. And so it is that Jesus responds in John 10:10, saying, "But I have come so that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly until it overflows." Why would we believe that the enemy and that which the enemy desires is taking place now? But when we talk about the promise of Jesus, the life that Jesus came to promise, why is it that so many Christians say, no, that's not for today. That's for one day in heaven. Stop looking to the future when you can access the blessing of God right here and right now. Did God not say that if you fully obey the voice of the Lord your God, you will be the head and not the tail? You will be above and not beneath. You will be blessed in the city and you'll be blessed in the field. Blessed going in and blessed coming out. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed in Jesus' name. Was that not the promise? Why would God make promises to the people of Israel under an old covenant, which we know the book of Corinthians says is an inferior covenant? And yet there's no denying the fact that that which God promised, He did in their lifetime. But the moment we talk about it from a Christian perspective, we talk about it from a New Testament, New Covenant perspective, why do you want to reserve the blessing of God for one day in heaven? Why settle for hell on earth only with the prospect of one day in heaven when you can access the fullness of His bountiful riches and glory right here and right now? That's the promise of God. That is the Word of God. You see, so this woman released her faith in that now moment. There was that second that she had to make that decision. Either I'm going to let Jesus walk by, either I'm going to let fear get the better of me, because she wasn't supposed to be there. She had that one moment. Jesus is walking by. I could almost see her hand sort of quivering. Is she not? And she decides, I'm going to go and I'm going to stretch forth my hand by faith and I'm going to touch the glory of God. And in that moment, she stretched forth her hand by faith. She stretched forth her hand that in a sense penetrated the veil separating the natural from the supernatural. And she accessed the supernatural power of God. That day, the glory of God was revealed to her and to everyone else around. Jesus said, "That woman, your faith has made you whole." You see, now faith will never ever be denied. Now faith is bold. Now faith is tenacious. And now faith is aggressive and it rises up. Now faith is a possessor and it never ever lets go. The reason I say that is because I will not let go until I see the desired results. I will not let go until I see that which is promised in this book, the Holy Bible. This is God's will for your life. Do not believe the lie that God somehow wants you poor and miserable. But hey, one day in heaven you'll have it all. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Take courage and strength from Caleb, who amidst the negative report, he saw the same Nephilim. He saw the same giants. Yet he was the one who said, "Let us go up at once, for we are definitely able to conquer it." He was also the one at the age of 80 to say, "Give me my mountain." You see, you do not have to sort of say, "Hey, I'm not going to be a partaker of the blessing of God right here and right now. It is reserved for one day." Even in an old age, Caleb said, "Give me my mountain." He was a possessor of now faith. I pray that you will not let go until you see the desired result. That you will not allow yourself to be swayed by the negative reports all around you. Oh, the economy. Oh, the political climate. Oh, the socioeconomic climate. No, no, no. Let us go up and let us possess the promise of God. For we are able to conquer it. Father, we pray that faith will arise. That even right now there will be those who will place a demand on the anointing, knowing that greater things are yet to come. Father, we thank you for a boldness, a tenacity, and a strength to come to every single one, every believer in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.